Welcome to Your Call to Action with your host, Simon Bruno, sharing inspiration and motivation from the e-commerce world. Today, this is your call to action.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Your Call to Action. Today we are with Jesse Inga from Keepspace.
Hi.
We're going to be talking all about content today because today is actually our 2-year anniversary of our podcast.
2 years!
We're just doing a little celebration for it, and we're here debuting a new video space which is actually in the middle of construction, but that's not going to stop us today from doing a podcast. But Jesse, how's it all going?
I think it's going pretty well. Super sorry for the background. We actually have the warehouse in action, so do apologize for that.
Yeah.
Where we're currently located is on the second floor of our building, which has an open area in the back, which we may put into the attachments below, showing around how we're planning to do this. But the idea, I guess, on how it's going is, it's going well, I think. It's going really well.
So I guess our plan for the podcast is to juice it up a lot more, and not just the podcast, a lot more content coming out through Keepspace with this video studio set up. Jesse, how important do you think content is for a business?
Really important. With what's going on with e-commerce, COVID-19, how the market is changing, it is becoming more evident that the way we communicate with each other should be done more effectively than probably what our current industry does it as, which is mostly outsourcing it to a third party for Google advertising, or they may put out some LinkedIn ads. This arrangement of trying to do content within our own channels has become more precedent than ever before. So when, as Simon's probably told you lots of times, when we run an event, those events or people we speak to at the events, we're always encouraging them, make your own content, make your own channel, show your own products, be authentic and real. But it's a bit hypocritical if we don't even do it ourselves. So what we decided to do was juice it up, make a studio, which we are making right now, and see what we can do to present this this journey of our studio's development from this lovely palette-based scenario to what it will hopefully be is a nice desk and setup and space. Multi-camera shots and all this cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So what are our plans? Do we want to share like what our what sort of content we're going to be creating and stuff like that?
Love to talk about the future, but I guess we could talk about where we've come from, because 2 years is a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
It was us in the very first podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, the very first episode of the podcast was actually done in Jesse's old house.
Yeah.
In the
Bayswater.
In the lounge room.
Yeah,
yeah, with Will was done in the bedroom. That sounded a bit wrong, but yeah, like I think we've come definitely a long way. Like we've met a lot of people from different walks of life, and like they're all doing different things in regards to e-commerce or even just business in general, which is really, really cool and really encouraging. Like even people from overseas, and yeah, there's countless amount of guests that we've had on.
What would be someone that really stood out to you out of the podcast groups that you've spoken to, out of all the people you've podcasted with, who would really be standing out as a, wow, that was really cool?
I think probably one that we did early on would have been with our friend Ming, who's
Ming,
like a marketer here
hey
in
Ming.
Perth. She talked about marketing, obviously, but also more so like the, I guess, like how to deal with stress and like mental anxiety when running a business, running an e-com store.
She was at the house
stuff.
Too, right?
Yeah, she was also at the house.
Yeah, she was. I remember she came by to the. Do you remember what the title was for that one?
Oh, no, because I changed all the titles. I shouldn't say that. But, like, because before we had, this is really, really old school style, the way we did our titles was just like, Your Call to Action, episode 1, and then the guest title. But now it's more like, explain, like, it's more, Descriptive, the titles, which are a lot better. So,
okay. Cool.
Yeah, I think it's like episode 6 or 7, though. It's very early on. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I liked hearing Carl Kombucha's story, even though he was pretty timid in the initial part. I did think what he was saying, because I could overhear it. I didn't, like, I wasn't part of it. I just overheard it being said. And I thought it's always nice to hear, like, different people who are working with us, their story and how
they come around.
It may not be anything amazing, but it's always like when you hear about what they've done and actually making something and then bringing it to market and doing all that work and get paid so little to finally get to a place where it's actually sustainable. That's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a problem, but with a lot of things out on YouTube and some podcasts as well, it makes e-commerce sound like, oh, just get some product and then just start an eBay store and you'll make money like within 3 months. When really that's like not the case at all. And I think those episodes there where we like interview actual e-commerce sellers who've been at it for like 1 year or even like 5 years for some people, and they're still like in the grind and hustle. I think those are like really, really good stories to share because it tells the truth.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
It's the reality.
It doesn't sell like some fake lie.
Yeah.
I
can understand why right now people who are online, and you'll see this on YouTube, you'll see this on Facebook, you'll see it on LinkedIn, you'll have these people that will get in your face and say, start an online business, look how much I've made, buy my program, it's $500.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. And there is some merit to it, but the result side is usually quite inflated, where it looks like a get-rich-quick scheme, but really, the reality is a get-rich-slow scheme. But get-rich-slow schemes are very unattractive and very unsexy, but they're very real. And what the reality is actually in most people's situations.
Mm.
Like, I think most of the people we've spoken to in their first year, most of them didn't really crack. When it's their first business online without a product that has no...
It's not validated?
It's not validated. Yeah. It's not a hype product. It's not something
with
branding.
It's like something that... is like,
you made it yourself.
That's cool. I'll give this a shot. Like, I really like this product.
Those types of businesses that kick off, they might only make between $20,000 to $35,000 in their first year, because so much has been spent into the website, into the marketing, making sure the product validation is all good, and because they only buy small samples of the products, they can only sell so much, and it's never do they ever buy like, oh, I'm going to get a 40-foot container. I've never bought this thing before. I'm going to just get 40 foot worth and just bring it all in and spend all that across the market. But then if it doesn't work out, then they have all this excess inventory. So not many people do that. It's usually I'll get 5 boxes of the stuff. I'll open a box. Each box might have 12 inside or whatever. I'll sell through that. If that works, then I'll try another. Maybe I get 10 boxes the next time. And it's like that, like a slow cycle. So in the beginning, it's never a lot because it's always a touch and go.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to run it, though.
Yeah, of course it is.
I don't think, like, if there's any advice to take away from this podcast and you want to start an e-commerce business, I wouldn't recommend, like, saving up $10,000 of your own money and then putting $8,000 into inventory on something that you don't know that will sell. Like, that's probably not a good decision.
Probably not the best decision to do, yeah.
But, yeah, like, I think maybe $500 worth of product, and if you can make, like, $600 or $700 worth of that product, then... reinvest that money. Maybe don't take any money for yourself, just reinvest it again to the business, slowly build it up, maybe make that to $1,000, and then just keep repeating that process, and then maybe once you're like 6 months in, you're like, okay, I'll take 1% of the revenue I make, and then the next month take 2%, and then slowly just
I've heard from a lot of the podcasts that have come through.
Yeah,
like that seems to be a recurring message being shared. So that's probably what I've seen. I mean, have you heard any other recurring messages over the last 2 years that have come through our amazing people?
I would say one is just about if you're in the grind, I think just do something. Like if you have a hobby or you want to start your own business, whatever it is, or you're trying to work on it at a skill, like just do something a day, like even if it's like 30 minutes to help to do the upskill. because I think for a lot of things, people who want to really get good at something will just give up after a year if they're not getting anywhere. So even if you do a little bit every day, you're going to surpass those people over time. I think it's just consistency is key. I don't know what other messages you've heard, but
I'm just trying to think of other ones that I've heard.
But like the infinite game message.
That I'm not sure if I heard that from any podcast, but I've heard it from other speakers. But in going back to yours,
yep.
There was someone, now it's got nothing to do with the podcast here, but it was from another person's podcast that I heard it from where they were talking about a very similar message that you were saying, where it's like exercise. Now, forgive me for my inability to show perfection in exercise, but with someone who, and I'm trying to do this myself, hopefully throughout this video section, I should become a thinner person. But in the approach of like exercising, one thing I noticed is that when I do go to the gym and exercise, if I go and smash it, it's really, really painful the next day. So this other person was saying not to exercise to like 100%, maybe only go to 65%. So that way you're not too sore the next day, so that you're able to keep going to the gym 5 days a week. Instead of like trying to hammer it out and say it's a 25-minute session to a 30-minute session each time, and that if you're only going 3 times a week, then that's an hour and a half. But if you're only putting in less amount, it's more volume because you're able to put in that extra hour. So it's an hour and a half versus 2.5 hours worth of time focusing on cleaning up the body's physique. So looking at it from that perspective, within e-commerce, if there is some time spent on everything, as you were saying, like not having to try and hammer out an all-nighter,
yeah,
and finishing off at 1 a.m. in the morning feeling so great and not doing anything for 2 days, but instead like putting in 2 hours and then pull away another 2 hours,
yeah,
pull away.
I think that's a lot better.
And you have more quantity of showing you've progressed further that over a week or two,
yep,
than you would say, I did an all-nighter 2 nights out,
yep,
of the whole week, and I may have done maybe 8 hours out of that week because I did 4 hours in one day, 4 hours another day. But if I did 2 hours every day, then that's actually 10 hours.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
means
yeah,
you'll get more volume again in working on the business.
Yeah,
working on yourself. It's just a good strategy to think about. Burnout is not a good thing, but it seems to be like, yeah, grind and crush it, grind, crush, then burnout.
Yeah,
like that's a real situation.
Yeah, and I think there's like a lot of people who sort of not promote it, but like as a result of their message, I think a lot of people just think, okay, I have to work until I burn out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or as it's like I'm not actually doing anything, which I think is a bad message to give. But
yeah,
I 100% agree with like your take on that, because as humans, I feel like We find it difficult to focus for long periods of time. So if you were to do 2 all-nighters that were 8 hours long, right? And that's, I mean, not that long, maybe 4 hours long each time, so that's 8 hours. Out of that 4 hour stint per night, like how much do you reckon you'd be 100% focused? Probably like an hour, and then you'd be like, here we go.
It depends. First, this I have experience in, because running this business that we have here at KeepSpace, like, There is time during the day, and as your e-commerce business grows, you'll be by yourself, and during the day you'll be able to do certain. When the business is in its early stage sort of arrangement, you don't have many distractions.
Yeah,
that is a real blessing you have when it's just yourself, maybe one other person, because you can just sit down and really focus.
Yeah.
But as the team grows, you bring on someone to help you with marketing, you bring help you with customer support inquiries. You bring in some other team members to do some other parts of the business. Every person that comes in, more of them need a portion of your time, and every time they need a portion of your time, it gets difficult to try and give 100% to each person, and so therefore the work that you try to do ends up being a substantial amount of it will go to other people because you care about them, but then the parts that you know you need to focus in on, it gets really hard to do. So you can either try and do it in the morning or in the afternoon. But over the last 6 months, I've been doing what I call night shifts. And night shifts are more like night burns, where it's just going from 6 a.m. to about 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. So that time frame, it sort of puts in, mental pressure, and probably out of that, I would state that maybe 70% of that is focused in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there might be a little bit of time where you're, I don't know, watch a YouTube channel for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's normal.
Because you mentally just want a break.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But still, like, it's the amount of hours of quantity that gets put in, like, for that sort of arrangement that, I don't actually know where I'm going with this, but it just feels like, it feels important to just put in as much quantity as you can into a business.
Yeah.
E-commerce does it like, to make it work.
Yeah.
And that focus time is critical.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point.
But going back again to your workout thing, would you say that you should probably maybe work 75% less on a night shift, so if you can focus the whole time and then go home earlier? Will that be?
Yeah.
Would you like recommend that more?
I really do, because I have become fat because of stress and late night working. Like, that's a legitimate thing. And I have them with little children. They just wake you up in the morning. So it's a very difficult life I'm in right now, where children, business, and just lack of sleep does not do well for the body.
Yeah.
But trying to find a balance, I don't know if balance is the right word, try to find a way to fit everything in.
Yeah.
It's super hard, man. It's really hard.
Yeah, there's like not enough time in the day, definitely, for sure.
William has said many times, like, something's got to give. Something's got to be sacrificed. You're either going to sacrifice your family, sacrifice your financial opportunity to grow, or you're going to sacrifice your health. There's always something that's got to give to make something get focused in and become more substantial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly. You either want to be like a gym junkie, but then have like no friends and not drink anything, or, you know, like have a really healthy life, or you want to be a super wealthy business person, but maybe sometimes suffer in your health and suffer in your family relationships. Some people, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the secret here, because we've been at this journey for 4 years.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 2 years. Like, there are people who I see as business leaders, and there are some who do show, like, really good healthy shape. Seems like a balanced family.
Yeah,
I'm literally going on a tangent right now. But I can't tell, like, all the secrets to a successful business life.
Yeah.
Like, it's really difficult to knock down. Because you can get, like, we're going to do over, just at the recording of this podcast, we're going to do somewhere over 1.6 to 1.8 million this year. That's huge from where we started.
Yeah.
Like, that's massive.
For sure. Yeah.
But we're not there yet. We're still building this up. We're still, like, learning about how this all works. But you would think that if you saw this on Facebook or on YouTube, become a millionaire, this is where it's going to be like, this is all blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's still, like, so much progress to continue to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like a skill set. I think you have to develop, hey, like, because I think when you first start out, as you said, you got like a lot of luxuries. And maybe, like, as you grow, you kind of take those luxuries for granted, but you're not, like, adjusting yourself to the extra work, and it's sort of like, oh, man, I wish I was, like, back to those sort of days. And then, like, I don't know, you kind of just burn yourself out and kind of get, not depressed, but you kind of just, it, like, sort of eats at you, like, all the extra work maybe you have to do. It's like, I didn't think it was any about this.
Well, yeah, I guess so. It depends on how it's looked. And I do like the way that Jeff... Now, there's some things I don't agree with Jeff Bezos, but this part I do agree with. That if the plan is well thought out long term, then the results that we have already made now was already baked and cooked 12 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, 2 years ago. We'd already planned this to happen back then. So now that it's happening, it shouldn't be like, oh my God, where did that come from?
Yeah.
It should always be like, we had planned it. And it's more about, like, now seeing where we want to go, like, have a place in Melbourne, have a place overseas, and then backtracking to how those things come to become reality, Like, right now we're working on our processes and procedures, which are super boring, but super important.
Yeah, necessary.
Working on our software, working on how... Now, all the things we're working on is a way to make ourselves better here, but everything that we're trying to work on here, hopefully, will make e-commerce better as well.
Yep.
If that, just to keep it in touch with her.
Yeah.
Since the business girl, why are you over there?
Yes. Well, it looks like we only got like 5 minutes left for
the
podcast.
Is this 25 minutes already?
20 minutes, I think we're in.
Wow.
Time goes by fast.
I can just jump on.
Let's maybe like just take it back,
okay,
maybe to e-commerce specifically, and if there are any, if there's anyone out there who's like looking at growing their business through content. I know we said it's going to be hypocritical for give advice because we're not doing it ourselves yet, but we will be.
Mm.
What would be like a strategy that you would recommend for an e-commerce business? Let's just say they're selling, I don't know, watches or something, or clothing. Let's say clothing because that's in general. Like, what would be like, in maybe like 2 minutes, and I'll have a go in 2 minutes as well, on like what would be a quick sort of content strategy they could put out, some ideas even.
That's a question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That was like a statement. Leave it in the comments. Okay, content for someone who is doing a fashion product?
Fashion product, and they're growing, but they want to release more content, but they don't know what to release.
Don't know what to release. Well, I really think the idea of putting a base studio is a really cool idea. Something is, like, we're not really flashy here. We're on 6 pallets, billboard sign that we take to events, with some boards that we left over from our thing. That's it.
Yep.
Some cameras and a
one camera,
couple of lights.
Yeah.
One camera and 2 lights, yeah.
No.
So to do content, visual content, I think it's really, really valuable to be able to set up, make some shots, which we could probably do as another piece later, how
yep.
to make some shots. And we could probably do it with one of the guys that probably do it a lot, and then they could show us how we do it. They could show us how they do it, and
yep.
then that way we could make that a piece. I think we should make that a piece.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But in regards to, I don't know, how to do it, I personally have only done it 5 or 6 times where we would use the light box. A light box, I think, is like $85 or something on
Amazon or eBay or something, yeah.
Yeah, and then you buy that thing. It's a decent-sized box. It's usually about like this big. Those who are just hearing me, it's about, I don't know, 45 by 45 by 45. There's like a section at the front where you open it up. And there's LED lights at the top. Put it in. It's all white.
Yep.
That thing is actually pretty good for photos and visuals.
Yep.
To grab. And I think always having photos and visuals of the actual product is really, really good. But then also like action shots, live media content pieces. I think that's what you're asking for.
Yeah. Just like ideas. Or like even tips, like how to even get sort of started for content.
If they're just trying to get started, yeah, I'd be saying get the light box. Get a light box and put it in there and get some good photo shots, because
yep.
there's nothing worse. And I say this all the time. Like the 3 key elements to making a successful online business with a physical product is you got to have a decent website. You got to have a product that doesn't suck. And you got to have a good story. So the product part for taking photos is part of the website. The website is helping the conversion process. The story part should integrate with the website, being able to explain your story through social media, but then relating it back to the site.
Yep.
And the product itself, it's just going to be good quality and doesn't break and having lots of returns.
And not only like generic product as well, because there's enough.
Yeah, that's it.
There's enough of the same out there right now.
Yeah. So that's probably a perspective that I would say. So what do you think would be a good idea for getting a person's product out into the marketplace?
I would say spend time on building up your audience, whether that's like email marketing or like creating a landing page or giving people resources or something like that. Maybe it's a bit hard for fashion, unless you give out like a cheat sheet to like looking good or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that's really, really important. It's something that gets neglected a lot. It's like the power of like having an email list. Because not only can you send emails to like interested people, but you can also use that on Facebook and like create a lookalike audience, and like hit people who look like your email list, which is super powerful as well. That's coming from maybe more of a top of funnel, high level view. But yeah, maybe apart from that, create engagement, like with your audience as well.
Define engagement.
Define engagement?
Yeah.
Like
how do you
having,
stating it is good, but what does that mean?
Having like customers like talk to you, email you back, maybe on Facebook, they come back and comment on your stuff. Like even with this video, people are like, hey, leave a comment down below on your thoughts on the podcast. And then, you know, if they should reply back,
yeah.
Guys, reply back. And we'll get back to, you know, create that sort of rapport digitally with people who are interested. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it is like easier said than done, I would say, as well.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But yeah.
So it's really interesting, actually, when you were talking about creating engagement, because that's something I've been looking into like a lot with these. I've been watching a couple of those who are probably watching this. If you've seen on Netflix, if you have a subscriber account, or if you borrow it from a friend, what was it called? The Social Dilemma.
Yeah.
Oh my god! If you get a chance to watch The Social Dilemma, it's really interesting how they categorize people, because we wanted to try and categorize people within a certain audience so that we can niche into them and speak to them to share a product, right? That's the whole concept of social media. Like, you are wanting to be able to find out your different people and their different things that they like.
Yeah.
And then through what they like, you want to tap into that and say, hey, look, I have something you like. Take a look at this. You might want to buy it.
Yeah.
And then they might buy it. And then that's how that's being worked through. And the advertising to that marketplace and how that's going through. But it's super interesting to see how data is actually being done with these massive companies and how we can try and tap in products or social agendas into this space. And it's just really, it's a really, really good video to go check out and watch if you haven't had a chance to. It's called Social Dilemma, and it just gives a concept of a view of what is when our information is being shared out into this, into Facebook and LinkedIn and all the rest, and how we're able to, how other people may not use it for the best of interest, but how, but we're doing it as well. Like, let's not bullshit around. We're trying to find out what people like to do, where they just came from, what restaurant they just ate at, what they just bought, so
yeah.
That you're putting a pixel on them. If you stay on it longer than 3 seconds on a picture, you're getting a pixel attached to your name. And so all these different pieces are things just to track people to try and figure out what their next actions are going to do, so hopefully they'll be able to buy.
Yeah.
That's just the world we live in now.
Yeah, it's all about data. Like,
it's huge.
I think even Amazon, right? I mean, I watched a documentary on like how Amazon sort of came to power. Well, not power, but you know, like they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And apparently like in, I think it was like in the year 1999, I want to say, or 2000 even, Jeff Bezos like attended a talk on like how to get data off people.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh my god, like that is the future. And he's obviously run with it. He's collecting all sorts of data, even through like Amazon Echo and stuff.
Mm.
Like all data, it's all getting mined up. And then I think now Amazon are at a point where they can like predict future trends and what people are going to buy at like a certain time of the year, and they'll just stock up their warehouses with that product, knowing that in
there's
4 weeks' time,
probability
yeah,
of it being sold off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty scary.
I'm not saying that we want to go get silver, you know, alfoil hats or anything. All I'm saying is this is the world we live in, and I feel like if we're better educated in this space, it will hopefully enable us to do morally correct things for obviously our society,
yeah,
but also enabling us to make financial values for our own families in a way that people would be okay with. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say like, this shit's bad, get off Facebook, get off LinkedIn, because be honest, like, that ain't gonna happen. That's just the,
and even if you do get off it, I think they've got enough data on you anyway by now. So you might as well just be a bit more aware of it. I think just be aware of it is probably the message.
Well,
right?
What has COVID done? COVID's isolated everyone to work from home,
yeah,
to work from a place where it's safer and insulated. Therefore, the only channel you have is the internet or social media or whatever it is. Like, there are going to be those channels, and they're going to go through them more frequently, especially because of what's going on. And what, America just had the latest COVID cases that came through, like, in the last 6 days. Like, they're hitting record after record.
Yeah, it's like a third wave, I think, for them, eh?
Yeah. Thankfully for us, we're like, Victoria had 12 days of zero cases, which is like, woohoo, super good, after Victoria getting, like, such a bad name for COVID cases for, like, a couple months there. The point, I guess, I'm trying to get to is that it's, I think we should look at the future of how this is going to be wrapped around, while also, I guess, wrapping around our future in this space. Did you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So, and Simon had said in the beginning what this is all about. I guess it was good to talk about the past, but now for what we're going to do forward, we're going to try and be more authentic and try and share more information that's more around not only e-commerce, but also what's going on in this space, and try to bring different angles while bringing a better visual to the perspective. So we're going to open up a video channel. We're probably going to put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Can you put a video channel on LinkedIn? Not really, can you?
I think you just use YouTube. YouTuber. Okay. But Facebook, I mean, it's not really a channel, but you can upload videos onto Facebook.
Should we, like, put the channel, like, okay, it could be a data storage for YouTube, but you can also, you can just put it all onto the website as a channel feed.
On the website,
As you can tell, we're still working this out.
Yeah, we're actually, like, still, we're discussing the plans, like, live on the podcast.
Yeah, that's why. So, we'll put these, because it's so fresh and it's very interesting, we want to just go to next level for ourselves from a content perspective, so that we can be considered, in my thought, now this might sound a bit cliche, I want us to be a bit of a thought leader in our space, and our industry is logistics, and logistics just don't do this at all. They're just like
boring.
They just don't do this kind of thing. So we thought, if we could do this, if we could share around what's going on in social media, not try to sell anyone, but just understand product stories that are, have people who have products come onto the channel here, show their products through why that business became successful. Because something that's really interesting is that when someone talks about saying they want to start up an online business, they talk about it from the perspective that it's a certain amount in to a certain amount out, as if it's like a trade sale on a stock market exchange. Mm. And it's just not like that. You got to share around that passion they have for the product. And so we're going to try and encapsulate that in this channel. We're going to try and bring in these people who do really love, like, Chris loves fascia. Chris, if you're checking this out, sorry, man, I'm just going to use you as an example. Fascia, I only learned about from Chris, and I had no idea what the heck it was. Did you know it was before him?
No.
It was like, it's some type of muscle tissue, and I'm probably brutalizing the explanation, but
it's like a skin for your muscles.
And
keep it hydrated so you're flexible, and your muscles are, like, ready to go, because there's no hydration in the fascia, you're just like a sponge which is dry.
Yeah, like a dry wetsuit is his example. Yeah. So if you keep it lubricated, then you're, like, able to keep moving.
Yep.
So hearing these passions for yourself, hopefully it'll give a concept of why they're successful online. It goes beyond just like, oh yeah, I got this product from Alibaba, I got it for 20 cents, I'm selling it online for $2, and it's, like, amazing. But then those people you see, they don't stick around very long.
Mm.
6 months until the hype is gone, because there's no passion, there's no drive behind what they're pushing. And it's just a side hustle money thing. And all side hustle monies, they all die. They've all died. So if you're looking for longevity and you want to be in the long run with this, like, that's what I want to push through this channel with Simon, of course.
Yep. And just touching upon the passion thing, I think, like, everyone who's out there in the warehouse, he's got stuff there.
Mm.
Like, all of them have got passion for what they sell. Mm. Like, I don't think there's anyone in there who's like, oh yeah, I'm just doing this for a bit of side money, yeah, you know, I'm like super cool, you know, like, look at me go. I'm like, nah, everyone's like super, super passionate. Like, I'll mention Charles as well, because I follow that guy on Facebook and on LinkedIn sometimes, and the content that he dishes out is like so authentic and so real that it's just like, you can just tell he's like so passionate about like the art of making cocktails and like the drinking culture in Australia and even overseas as well.
Mm.
And that just shows through his content, and like it's just it's addicting to watch, even though I might not be like 100% his target audience, but I'm just like, yeah, just watch his stuff because it's just, you can see that it's real. It's not like a fake thing.
And he was a lawyer who just started like on the side, and his drinks were in his cupboard. Like,
yeah,
that's how he started. And now he's doing this full time and he's going all over the place. He's not fully there yet, but he's definitely on the way.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure.
Yeah. Besides that, I think, yeah, we'll go into more detail around what's going on for the larger picture, what's happening overseas, having people come here from different nationalities that are in the same space, people who are making a big impact in Indonesia, in China. As you know, it's the 12th of November right now. Yesterday was 11/11. Huge number. How much did they end up pushing through?
I think it was 56 billion US dollars. So that means that 77 billion.
Last year it was 50 something.
It was like
Australian.
50, yeah. So maybe next year will be 77 billion US.
Okay.
It's
so
like, maybe that's the difference. Who knows?
All right. So if it was Australian, from Australian numbers, I know definitely last year it was 52
yeah,
it was 50 billion Australian.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You're saying we're doing around 70 billion this year.
Yeah.
Like, and our global market was 25. I think we cracked 32.
Yeah, probably this
year.
Yeah, because of COVID though.
And they did 70.
Yeah. In a day.
We're so small.
Yeah, we are small.
Oh my god, we should so know more about this world. Okay. So that's what we will bring to this channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
More about this world and more what's going on. So we're trying to also raise up with ourselves, with the people that we're that are listening to us. Because if you've been listening to us for a year now, or 2 years, you should definitely be on your way to doing pretty well for your online business.
Yeah.
So it's now like the other things that are there that are like after you've started, like what's further down the road, you know? Because
yeah,
I think we got to get them up there.
Mm.
Yeah, that's just my thoughts.
Yep, I agree with you, 100%. So it's good to like keep back with creating content, like provide value and all that sort of stuff as well.
It's cool.
Any other?
We could wrap it up.
Yeah. Any other thoughts before
you
wanted to close it up? No.
Keep watching. Watch this space.
How about you guys put in the comments below like any sort of topics you want us to cover or any video ideas?
Because
we'll put them all down into like a spreadsheet or something or into our list that we've got to create content, and yeah, we'll like do our best to like provide awesome coverage on it that will really help you guys out. So yeah, if you guys want us to cover anything related to e-commerce, logistics, marketing, am I missing anything else?
The larger marketplace,
yeah,
or business practices or strategies or growing a team, raising money, sourcing products, getting good negotiation deals.
Yeah. Anything like that.
Product validation.
Business stuff.
Yeah. The whole lot.
Whack it down below in the comments and we'll do our best to pump out those videos for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for watching, guys.
See ya.
See you in the next podcast. See you around. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Your Call to Action. This episode has been sponsored by KeepSpace. Do you run an e-commerce business? Is picking and pecking your orders getting you down? Send your products to us and we'll get it done on time, every time, integrating right into your website and marketplace with amazing shipping rates. Go to keepspace.com.au/your call to action to get an amazing opportunity.